This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Public computer kiosk, solar-powered park benches, city drones flying overhead. That's not the world of a Philip K. Dick novel, but plans for San Antonio's Smart City Initiative. But what is a smart city, and how will it help improve your quality of life? We're talking about that this half hour. We're joined by Jose de la Cruz, the Chief Innovation Officer for the City of San Antonio, and Art Reinhardt. He's the Assistant Director for the City of San Antonio's Transportation and Capital Improvements Department. And we invite you to call into our conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. What do you think about making San Antonio a smart city with interactive information technology at our fingertips? Or you can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at @tprsource. So, Jose and Art, welcome to The Source. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So, Jose de la Cruz, Chief Innovation Officer at the City of San Antonio, what is the Smart City Initiative?
So, the city has in the past undertaken, you know, some smart city projects, but over the last year, we've really consolidated that into a formal program that's housed in the Office of Innovation. So our city leadership has asked us to look at how can we use smart technology to make the citizens' lives better in the city of San Antonio? How can we communicate better with them about what local government is doing? And how can we just provide an overall benefit to the city? And so my team has undergone the research and looked at a few projects which were approved in last year's budget, which includes some of what you were talking about, the drones and the kiosk and the solar benches. And we'll look at be deploying those later this year.
So are there things happening now in San Antonio that are helping people's lives that could be considered smart technology that maybe we're not even aware of?
Yeah, so I think, you know, what CPS Energy is doing with their smart meters, you know, and being able to have that data on demand for the residents to understand their energy consumption, that's a smart way to use technology to really sort of improve the lives of the citizens and make sure that we're using our resources efficiently. So that's a good example.
But what happens? I mean, do people even know that they have a smart meter now attached to their house? I mean, I don't know if there's one on mine or not.
You know, I would think most people should know. I think, you know, CPS Energy probably does a good job of communicating that to their customers. So I would advise you to look into that if you don't know.
I just it's automatic. I don't even think about it, you know. So yeah. But there's one mayoral candidate who's a leading candidate who's running against smart meters. So is this a controversial thing?
I don't think it's controversial. You know, I think that, you know, technology has just come so far here in the last few years. I mean, if you think about it, you know, 10 years ago, you know, the iPhone didn't even exist. It came about in late 2007. And so we've come so far, and I think the expectations of our citizens is that we keep up with that technology, that we communicate with them in a different way, that we make their lives easier. And so that's what I think this initiative is doing.
Right. So that same mayoral candidate is also railing against all this planning for the future as if that was a bad thing. And his slogan is, you know, San Antonio for today. And here we are planning for the future. But people don't realize that all this planning for the future is for the people of San Antonio today. So this technology and all this planning and looking ahead, that is going to pay off like for the people of San Antonio today, not for future residents.
Right, exactly. So, you know, for example, we have a transportation project that was selected by Envision America, which is a national conference that we went to a week ago. And that particular project is looking at how can we make transportation easier in the city of San Antonio for the residents today. And so Art and his team have been on that.
So Art, tell me about, you're the Assistant Director for the City of San Antonio's Transportation and Capital Improvements Department. Art Reinhardt, tell me about this transportation plan that y'all workshop.
Sure. So one of the projects we're looking at right now and developing is, we call it SA Trip. It's the San Antonio Traveler Real-Time Information Portal. And through the budget process, we received funding through Jose's department and leadership of the city to allocate money along two corridors. One is Blanco Road on the north side, and then one is Primary Corridor on the south side, Southwest Military. And we're looking at those corridors to add advanced vehicle detection.
Which part of Blanco Road?
Blanco Road coming from 1604 south towards 410, that stretch, and then Military between the two bases. And so there's over 30,000 vehicles each day that drive those corridors. And we're looking at additional sensors and camera technology to get real-time vehicle information. Then we can consume that data in our traffic management system. And then we're working on a future app or something to get that data back out to our citizens to better know travel times in that area. So that's something right now that we're working on. But you asked earlier about what do we have out there. And one of our projects that we have that's been in the ground for a couple of years is a partnership with VIA on their Prima route, where their buses can talk to our signals on that route. And it works on better travel times and things to offer that higher service to the residents.
Right. And also, when you sit at a Prima bench waiting for the bus, it tells you precisely when it's coming. There's a countdown. It's 5, 4, 3, 2 minutes away, and it's then right there when it's supposed to be there. It really makes a big difference when you're waiting for the bus. These types of things are paying off in that area. Let me get a caller in on this. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join a conversation like Tony. And Tony, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. VIA's been the system, the way the system's been for the past 30 years. And I want to know, as a matter of fact, the Primo, there's no, if you're at the VO, let's say you're riding some other bus, there's no way to transfer to the Primo system from any other bus.
Right, but they're not with VIA, so they really can't deal with that. So you wanted to talk about how smart tech can be used for technology, transportation?
Yeah, for what changes could be made for VIA, what changes, say light rail or something like that.
All right, Tony, thank you for the call. We get so many calls for light rail in San Antonio, you wouldn't know that people hate it in this town, supposedly. You know, that's because all the votes against it or all the rhetoric that we've heard. But we're hearing from people that they do want transportation solutions.
Yeah, so absolutely. So you mentioned earlier about planning for today and tomorrow, but about 150 people are moving to San Antonio every day, and we expect another million to be here by 2040. So yes, we have to plan for tomorrow while also servicing today's community. So just following up on that caller's call about Primo, I know from working with VIA, they are planning a couple additional routes as well that'll use that same technology. So as we move forward, we're looking at moving people, not just vehicles. We know we can't continue to add to our roadways capacity. We have to use other means. So either mass transit in some form or technology to help reduce congestion.
San Antonio is among 10 U.S. communities that have been chosen by the Envision America 2017 project to take part in this year's Smart City Initiative. The program is helping participating cities explore new ways to use technology to make municipal government more effective, sustainable, and responsive. And this is something that Mayor Ivy Taylor has been behind, looking at how we use information that's gathered all around us and make it to directly improve the quality of life of the people who live in San Antonio. We're going to take a quick break. You're invited into the conversation with your questions and suggestions. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Coming up in the next half hour, we're talking about Texas German culture and baseball and about how the All-American game was embraced at the internment camp during World War II at Crystal City, not just by Japanese residents, but also by German-Americans who were imprisoned there. We'll get that story in the next half hour. But right now we're talking about San Antonio becoming a smarter city. We're already pretty smart, but this new technology is getting better and better every day, and employing it in different ways will improve the way that people can get can travel around the city, can access city services. This is something that can not just make your life more enjoyable, but could also save lives in critical times. So can we talk about that a little bit, Jose De La Cruz? When there's an emergency in San Antonio, how can technology like this pay off?
So I think an example of that is the drones that we're looking at for the fire department. We're looking at that for search and rescue purposes, as well as any hazmat events for the fire department to go out there and be able to utilize the drones and put them up in the air and do an evaluation of the area before having to send in firefighters into harm's way. So being able to utilize the technology that's out there and do it in a way that it can help save lives.
So are these drones that are going to already be up in the air flying around San Antonio on any given day, and then if there is, say, an explosion at the bowling ball factory, that they can go to that location and provide that information, or are they launched, or when something goes bad, how does it work?
Yeah, so it'll be for set events. They won't just be up in the air all day, every day. They'll be for set events. The fire department will be able to take them out to the event and launch the drone. And be able to fly it in the area and then utilize it in that manner.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines with Chris. And Chris, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, wow. Thanks. I love the show.
Thank you.
I had a quick question for Art. A couple of years ago, San Antonio had received a grant that adjusted the speed limits on 1604 according to just traffic flow, and it would minimize it in certain spots or push the speed limit all the way up to 80 in others to make it more efficient. I was curious if you knew the results of that preliminary study and if that's something we look to see in the future.
Okay, Chris, thank you for that call. Appreciate it. Speed limits on 1604, is that something that can be adjusted?
I believe TxDOT looked at that in the past. Their TxDOT here locally operates our highway systems. So off the top of my head, I don't have an answer on that specific question. But I do remember hearing something about that as well.
Like when y'all did the new Wurzbach Parkway, there was some concerns about speed limits, and then they were adjusted upward to make it more effective.
Right. Again, that was, TxDOT built that facility. Once it opened, they along with us, we conducted a speed study along there to see what the appropriate speed limits were. So that was a hard adjustment. I believe what the caller was talking about was more of a dynamic sign that would adjust as the ebbs and flows of traffic adjusted during peak times.
So as vehicles get smarter, we know that cars are going to be driving themselves. Is the city going to have to install infrastructure in order to be conscious of what these cars can do?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things, San Antonio, along with a few other cities, created a Texas statewide partnership, and we were selected as a proving ground by the USDOT here a couple weeks back to test automated vehicle technology. Several cities each pick corridors. San Antonio selected the Fredericksburg corridor because it already had some smart elements on that. So that's something hopefully later this calendar year that we'll see some testing of different types of automated vehicles. Certainly we've already had contact from some vendors trying to get traffic signal data so that they could get information back to their cars, such as time to green arrivals, so it could help identify a driver if they were driving down a roadway and the light was about to turn red. There's certain smart elements that are already being looked at.
How are cities preparing for smart cars like that that are self-driving? I mean, in your community, I guess you guys are talking about this. Do you see this as a radical change? I mean, why even have stoplights anymore? Or, you know, what's going to happen to the traffic cop? If everything is computer controlled?
Yeah, certainly. It's a mini, probably decade process. You know, we're already seeing connected vehicles where they have sensors, you know, backup cameras, sensors. Then the next step is the vehicles talking to each other. Keeping appropriate gaps between vehicles. Eventually, there'll be driverless vehicles and things like that. So that may affect our traffic as we know it. Certainly on a highway system, you know, you could have a bunch of vehicles traveling closely together because they're all automated and they can adjust on the fly. So that could improve congestion as well. So it's something that over the next several years we'll be watching to see how it develops.
And these corridors that you're looking at with the Smart City Initiative for traffic, how adjustable is that in real time? So maybe there's an incident, a traffic accident, or maybe some, who knows what happens. Suddenly the traffic is thrown off its normal pace, And suddenly, that traffic flow is no longer flowing.
Yeah, so we've done, a very good job over the last several years timing our signals. We have many plans in place. But on these two corridors, the additional sensors and technology we're deploying will give us better real-time data so that it will have plans built in to be able to adjust. If it sees a heavy amount of congestion at one area, it could by itself run through the plans to adjust the green times there to improve that.
Yeah, there's nothing more frustrating than sitting at a red light and the cross street, the green light, there's no cars there. You're just sitting there wasting time. Even in the middle of the day, sometimes it's that way. Maybe two cars went by and then they're behind you or in front of you. There are 20 cars. And you're like, Wayne, there's got to be a smarter way to do this.
Yeah, a lot of that is the detection as well. It's come a long way.
That little camera looking thing.
Yeah, there's the older types were loops. We called them loops. They were actually in the asphalt. Then we started getting into camera technology. Now we actually have radar out there. So the radar is less susceptible to shadows. Even windy days can adjust that. So it's different. It's evolved as well as technology's gone on.
Right. So sometimes it's like when there's a gap in the flow of the vehicles, like some guy didn't really – he was on a phone. He shouldn't be on his phone while he's driving. But he didn't speed up and go through the green light, so suddenly it turned red. That's I'm behind him all the time, that guy.
Yeah.
So that needs to change. Well, let me ask you, Jose de la Cruz, Chief Innovation Officer at the City of San Antonio, about the expansion of public Wi-Fi and how that's part of this as well. Particularly, that's important for San Antonio. So many people here depend on public Wi-Fi.
Yeah, absolutely. So as part of this initiative, we're expanding our public Wi-Fi offerings into our park system. So we're looking at 10 city parks across the city, one in each council district, where we are putting public Wi-Fi in places where people already congregate, like playgrounds, community centers, and in some areas like Pearsall Park, where the skate park is at. And so we feel like, being able to push this out to the community is a benefit to be able to get everybody online, in the event that they want to look for a job application or scholarship information, that they have it right there at their fingertips. So,
what's the state of public Wi-Fi right now in San Antonio?
So we have it at our library's system. So all of our libraries do have public Wi-Fi. There is some in the downtown area as well. And then this will expand it out to the park system.
And the thought is that why put it there? What is the thinking? How is this a public service?
So, it's where people congregate, right? You're taking your family out there. I take my daughter to Pearsall Park quite a bit.
It's a great park. It's a great place to run.
Yeah, absolutely. She likes to play on the playground, and so I'm there. And while I'm there, I can connect, and I can do some things online. And so we're really hoping that people take advantage of it once it's deployed later this year.
Public computer kiosk, what is that?
So we've seen these in other cities like Kansas City and New York City. They're kiosks that have a variety of information, everything from city information on city events, transportation information, stuff like B-Cycle, all at the fingertips of somebody that may be in the downtown area and wants to look at what's near them, what's the next available restaurant, or where am I at right now. And so we're looking at the downtown area, the missions, maybe the airport as well, to put some of these kiosks. Another benefit is that they emit public Wi-Fi as well. So if you're in the immediate area and you want to connect to Wi-Fi, these kiosks will allow you to do that.
So San Antonio doing this, if we didn't do this type of activity, planning for tomorrow with this smart city stuff, how much of a competitive disadvantage would we be?
I think as you're trying to recruit businesses, they want to come to a city that is progressive. And technology right now is kind of the way to show that you're doing that. So I think it would put us at a big disadvantage if we didn't go down this route. We're already seeing, in other cities like Kansas City and New York that do a good job of promoting their efforts, they're able to recruit better. And so that's what we want for our city here in San Antonio.
Will this help me find a parking space downtown?
One day we'll get there.
Okay, how would that work, Art, and how long do I got to wait?
Well, actually, we're looking right now. We have a study going on looking at how we improve traffic in the downtown area, particularly during events, with the new expansion of the convention center. as well as the Alamo Dome. So when we have simultaneous events that are large scale, one of the key things is parking and bringing that information to the folks, either online or at these kiosks is a critical element, and then trying to sync that up with the transit system that is downtown. So all that's something is being looked at as we speak right now.
I mean, it seems like we have so many more and more electronic parking meters downtown. Is all that information gathered someplace and you can figure out, like, where, you know, what's available?
Well, right now, we have the meters out there, and I think there's been some conversations about creating smart parking meters as well that would gather that data and then get that back to a central location. Also working with parking lots, things like that, to put out information on available parking spots in the city.
So, Jose de la Cruz, what gets you most excited about the Talking About Smart Cities program for San Antonio? What's your big, like, I can't believe this is happening. This is so awesome.
You know, I think, you know, we talked about some of the projects, and while those are definitely exciting, you know, once they're in the ground, I'm definitely excited about the impact it will have on the citizens. You know, I really feel like if when we implement the transportation project, that will help traffic flow along those two corridors. Another element of that is looking at sensors for pedestrian walkways and trying to decrease the pedestrian fatalities in the city. So there's a real benefit there to the citizenry here. You know, that gets me really excited when I go and talk with other folks about what we're doing in San Antonio.
And people are always looking for ways to communicate with the city. Usually it's in the form of griping, kvetching about the city. Will this help people do that?
You know, I think it'll help them interact better. You know, one of the apps that we're releasing is a redesigned 311 app that will have a social component to it in order to get citizen feedback. And that's important for us as local government officials to be able to get that feedback and then do something with it. So I think it even makes us smarter.
And there's a lot of talk about sustainability. Will having smart city technology allow us to be smarter with energy use, water conservation? How would that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we're already seeing some of that with the smart meters, CPS. You know, there's a lot of technology out there that can detect leaks in water systems. So definitely the technology is out there, and, you know, definitely we're considering everything.
So, I mean, how would having a smart meter in the homes in San Antonio, how does that help conserve electricity?
I think it makes you more aware of the energy that you're consuming. You know, for example, I recently got a smart thermostat in my house. And
One of those Nest things.
And makes me a lot more aware of the energy that I was consuming, whereas before it was very static and you just kind of let the air conditioner run. I'm a lot more conscious now about it, so I think that's good information for the citizens.
And Art Reinhold, how soon will these new improvements to these corridors that you're talking about come online?
Overall, we're looking at about a two-year project. Some of those elements will be in place earlier. Like Jose mentioned, we are trying to pilot some pedestrian detection at some of these intersections to help reduce fatalities or crashes on the pedestrians. So that we're hoping that would be in place by maybe late summer this year. But then it'll take more time to develop the application or working with a third party to get the travel time information back out to the citizens.
And so because this is supposed to be seamless. People, the drivers won't even notice. Suddenly they feel like they're lucky. All the lights are green today. I'm just the luckiest guy in the world. So is that the plan?
Well, there will be integration with applications. So there are some apps out there that on the traffic side. And so we'd probably be partnering with them to provide this information prior to their trip and then maybe updates during the trip if there's an event that they need to route around.
Okay, Art Reinhold, Assistant Director for the City of San Antonio's Transportation and Capital Improvements Department. Jose de la Cruz with us, the Chief Innovation Officer for the City of San Antonio. When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about German baseball here in Texas, also at the Crystal City internment camp. That story ahead here on The Source. Stay tuned.